Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I think what I want to address is whether or not we're talking about a review or approval. And there's language in here in the sentence after the 30,000, which was previously 50,000, that says, if it feels that review or approval, I don't think you need to say review or. We've already said review in the previous sentence, and the issue that was raised a few moments ago was, oh, this is just to kind of give the National Board a heads up on what's going on, but they really don't have the power to say no. And I think the intent of this motion is to give power to the National Board or its appropriate committee to have the ability to say to the ED or the CFO, no, you cannot sign this contract. But this language here with the word review or leaves this thing vague. And I think the review or those two words should be taken out. And if you'd like, I'd like to read this so that everybody is clear on what I'm saying.
Yeah, please propose specific language.
Okay, it's just taking out the words review or, and I want you to hear what I am saying. The coordinating committee, and then there's a parenthetical statement, or the LSB for contracts concerning local stations shall have the authority to request the PNB review, leave the word review there, prior to the execution of particular contracts if it feels that, and take out review or, and just say if it feels that approval are desirable or necessary. I also want to say that I agree with Bob that lowering this figure to $30,000 really does hamstring the body, and while I voted yes, I am really thinking that if we're talking about approval power, that it ought to be the higher figure that we had before, $50,000. But Deb Shafto's intent was, I think, to lower the figure because it was only the opportunity to review it, but not to say yay or nay to the ED or the CFO. I'm done.
Mary Berg, can I get on the start?
Yeah, before I go there, I just want to say that these are all good issues and substantive issues that we're bringing up. So if we really do get work done to make this a much better policy, maybe we are going to need to take yet another step in this extended process. I don't have any objection to that. But if we can get some part of this passed sooner rather than later, I would think that would be positive. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, we voted for that, and I don't really want to take the time to go and revisit that vote. So I hope that, Ted, you're not going to propose we have to go back and do it again. I mean, we just finished voting for that.
I want to hear what Deb Shafto has to say about her comment that this, it sounded like her impression was that this is a review process and not a actual, that the committee or the PNB can say no to the signing of a contract.
May I jump in?
Go ahead, Max.
I've always taken it this to mean that, of course, review implied the right to reject. I mean, what's the point of reviewing and if it's just a perfunctory thing anyway?
I agree.
It carried with it the right to reject. Of course, it could create problems if it is not administered properly. But I'm for the language as it is, the 30K certainly, and we're tied with the right to reject.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I haven't heard of... Ted, are you making a formal request to amend it, or...?
Yes, I would like to take out, because it obscures the motion, that where it says review or approval, to take out the words review or.
Then you'd have to change the R to an is. But okay. Before, I would just say that there may not be, you may not want to mandate, I guess I see what you're saying, that to review it.
We've already said that in the previous line.
Okay, well, basically what you're saying, when you say that approval is necessary, then what you're saying is there would have to actually be a vote to say go ahead.
Isn't that the intent?
The intent is to be able to review it so the PMB would get it. And the PMB might choose to do nothing on it and just say, fine, go ahead.
That is not doing nothing. That is saying, fine, go ahead.
Well, that's right.
But it doesn't require a vote. In other words, what you'd only require a vote. The idea is everybody should see that language. Oh, you better look at what this contract's doing because this is something important. Everybody looks at it. Now you've got a choice to either put it on the agenda and do something about it, any member would be free to do, or to just say, okay, we've looked at it, we're satisfied, we've seen it and review it. The thing about review is it doesn't require a meeting. Approval does.
Can I get under, well...
Go ahead, Arpon.
Information for a second. If this becomes an amendment, I'd have to inquire, do we have, what's our status with how many amendments are here? Because we still have, mm-hmm. I think, it was stated that you were making an amendment about adding will inform via email the PNB and CC, and also establish or enter into new contracts. We haven't voted on any of that. And then we've got next after that, we have still pending an amendment to strike desirable or and add mm-hmm. and to fulfill responsibilities.
Okay,
point we were waylaid.
Time is up for this item.
Okay. Is there a motion to extend the item?
Yeah. I will like a motion to extend the item. How much time do we think? Can we finish this up in 10 minutes?
Probably not, but don't think that we can spend... I mean, make whatever motion you care to make.
Well,
I'd like to make a motion that we postpone consideration of this item until the items that are on the...
I'm sorry, Ted. I was making my motion and I hadn't finished. I was still talking. I was in mid-sentence. Can I please... You can make your substitute motion, but can I finish my motion? I'm moving to extend time 10 minutes on this item.
Okay. Ted, you had an alternative?
No, but I'm afraid we're not going to get to the items that I'm most concerned about for this meeting that are at the end.
But some of us are very concerned about this item.
Is there any objection to extending 10 minutes now? Arpal, what I'd like to do is do this as a consent calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So basically accumulate these if there's no objection to doing it that way, because some of those things, the alternative to that is we can just agree. Let's do it that way. We have several amendments I'd like to do as a consent calendar. The changes are, one, we'll inform via email. Two, establish or enter into new contracts covered by this policy. Three, if review of approval are necessary to fulfill responsibilities defined in the bylaws.
Can I comment on that, please?
And three was but not discussion. Four was but not discussion.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has an issue about one of those, they should ask that it be taken off the consent calendar so that it can be discussed individually.
I just have something I think would make one of those better.
Okay, then which one would you like to pull from the consent calendar?
Inform via email.
Okay, is there any other request to pull anything out?
Point of information, as a new member of this committee, what do you mean by consent calendar?
A consent calendar basically says we're going to do all of these things. We're going to vote on them as a block by common consent. We're going to vote them all as a block up or down. However, if somebody wants to address one of the items, it is pulled from that list and addressed individually. So Jane has asked inform via email be pulled. Does anybody want anything else pulled from the list? Okay, hearing none.
Dave, if you could... Tell me whereabouts. I mean, I'm not used to a consent calendar here, so I'm looking for this in Roberts.
It's in Roberts. I can't.
We use them in our meetings, not very successfully. But.
Well, it's getting better, Max. A teeny bit, not much.
Oh, I got 349, 350. Okay.
Okay.
Can you, is there anybody who wants to pull anything else from the list?
Point of information. Point of information. Dave?
Yes.
Did you include in the list the deletion of the words review or?
No, because that's one we're going to get to. Our Paul raised that before we considered that. So that's going to be the next thing.
Thank you.
What are the items, Dave, on the list? Consent?
There's three now.
So far, there are three. One is establish or enter into new contracts covered by this policy, as covered by this policy. Bob's is review prior to execution of particular contracts if it feels that review or approval are necessary. We add the language to fulfill responsibilities defined in the bylaws. And we're adding the
deleting or desirable
phrase,
right?
But not deleting or desirable,
mm-hmm.
and putting in but not discussion after recuse themselves from any vote of the coordinating committee. So those four things are on the calendar. Can we at least get this done, please? Is there any objection to approving that list of amendments?
I'll have to.
Oh, God, hold on. I'm having to go back. So hold on a second. It's...
Okay, well, can I raise a procedural question while Paul is looking? I really would like to be able to bring up my other 2 points before the time runs out.
Yeah, I want that, too. I'm trying to get there.
Okay, thanks.
Should we read this to you before we... messed up with it.
Paul, I have every one of these changes.
Well?
I can send them to you. Will that help?
Actually, I'm going to have it in about another 2 seconds.
Okay, great.
This is Lydia. I'm on the call now. Sorry.
Oh, hi, Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Okay, so I have this consent calendar being add, quote, establish or enter into new contracts covered by this policy at, strike desirable or, and add, and to fulfill responsibilities defined in the bylaws.
The last one is, but not discussion after coordinating.
No, wait a minute. I've already looked for that, but not discussion was passed without objection before.
Right.
Okay.
We passed that, so that's not in the hopper. I have, if it feels that review or approval are, strike review or.
Right, well, that was the one we were going to get to, and you had raised the question about whether we needed to discuss
right.
with
okay,
the
so
other
that's not
person.
In this calendar.
Mm-mm.
Right.
So, okay, then we've got add, establish, or enter into new contracts, strike desirable or, and add fulfilled responsibilities. Only those two things?
Yep. Three.
What's third? About the
discussion we already approved.
We already did. Okay, well, the things you've listed.
Okay, those two.
Those two things.
Two things, okay.
Great. Is there any objection to those?
Did he get covered in his policy?
Yes, he got that.
Okay, so there are the three things then. Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay, let me read what I have. The consent calendar is add, establish or enter into new contracts covered by this policy at, that's one. Another one is strike desirable or, and add in its place, and to fulfill responsibilities defined in the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
There another one?
Not and to, just two necessary to fulfill responsibilities defined in the bylaws.
Yeah, the third one was but not discussion. Recuse themselves
from...
No, that was this last one is not and?
The last
to
one
fulfill
says,
responsibilities.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting those? Great. Now, Ted, you want to strike review or?
No, I'm going to leave. I'll let that be
Thank
dealt
you.
With by the
Bye.
National Board. I'll
Thank
just
you.
Leave it for now.
Thank you very much. Bob, you have two things,
Thank
two
you.
Other issues you
yeah.
want to raise.
Okay. I am very concerned about the inclusion of union contracts in this policy. There's a host of issues that are potentially raised by having sometimes an extended process of collective bargaining between a union and management can go on for months, and painstakingly concessions on both sides, et cetera, they come up with an agreement, and then under this policy, everything is frozen. It's sent to the board to decide whether, or the LSB or the PNB to decide whether it needs review. If it is reviewed, it can be stopped, it can be mitigated, it can be rejected or modified, and I think it just completely destroys the whole spirit of collective bargaining in which, in good faith, both sides, you know, make certain agreements with each other. And I certainly understand the general oversight responsibilities, but there are other ways that are already built into our bylaws to do that. Management, you know, station managers are reviewed every year, their evaluation, their performance, the ED is similarly reviewed every year. There are various policies that could be set that might, you know, conceivably affect how contracts are negotiated in general. But to subject a kind of line by line and, you know, should they get 2.5% or 3% or should we have this pension plan or that pension plan and any number of other issues, I think would be a real intrusion and interference with labor union rights. And so I would move that be stricken, the phrase about union contracts be stricken, and that any further consideration be postponed until after there's formal consultation with all of the unions representing paid or unpaid staff at Pacifica.
Can I speak to this?
Yeah, Ted, I just want to clarify one thing, though, Bob. I think your interpretation is incorrect. This policy would call for the manager to notify the board 14 days before the intent to... well, my reading of it is that they would have to notify the board that they were entering into contract negotiations. In other words, the notification comes before they start that long mm-hmm. process.
Can you read the language that you're referring to, since
yeah.
I don't have it in front of me?
The LSB, the notification, blah, 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 of the intent to develop, establish, or enter into new contracts covered by this policy at least 14 days before taking action on such contracts. So if you're going to go into a union negotiation, that's an intent to develop a contract. And I would think that this policy would call for the manager to have to let the board know 2 weeks before union negotiations start that they're entering into those things. Then the question of review or approval and what mechanism would have to be decided upon by that board, but it's not contained in this.
Can I speak now?
Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dave, and I think that Bob's intent is to protect employees via the strength of a union. If we end up with a executive director or a CFO who is hostile towards unions, this gives the national board, the CFO or executive director, some marching orders that says you better be sympathetic to the rights of labor union members, and it's to the benefit of union members rather than the other way around.
Bob?
Yeah. Well, thank you for clarifying exactly what the policy says, and that is a little bit different, but it still contains the potential
yeah,
that at the end of the
point.
Process that it could be the agreement could be overridden. Also, I think, once again, there's a principle that we need to adhere to at Pacifica, which is that we shouldn't make decisions that affect a major... a major constituency within Pacifica without consulting that constituency. And while I understand these have been public meetings that, you know, that unions could theoretically have weighed in on, that's different than with all the things going on at Pacifica than formally notifying the unions at several stations, hey, this is a policy that will affect your future relationships. Here's the text. Please, we welcome your comments. Please submit them by X date. And then we make the decision. So I would stand by my motion to postpone consideration until the unions have been formed.
Dave, could I go
can you, this
yeah,
is Lydia. Can you put me on the deck?
I'll put you both on. The minutes of the last meeting, of course, show that we did vote to distribute it to the bargaining units and assigned responsibilities for who was to do that, and you were responsible for getting it to the BAI folks. R. Paul and then Lydia?
Yeah, having negotiated union contracts with the Pacifica Foundation, you know, somebody has to consent to this thing. It was never, in my experience, only the WBAI general manager who consented. After we would get done hammer-and-tonging it over what we wanted, it would always, you know, the manager would always say, well, now we have to give this to the executive director, who will then also show it to the Pacifica PNB. It's always gone up to the PNB, and the PNB is, of course, collectively the de facto owner of the entire Pacifica Foundation. And I don't see what the concern is. It's simply saying that, you know, the entity which has to consent to this will consent, you know, will have to consent to it. If it's always been a thing of if you know, there was something that they didn't want to do, if they didn't want to go with it, they would not agree to it. I mean, and we have dealt with Pacifica leadership that has been hostile to unions and has done actual union busting. So we've gone through this, and the thing that happens there is the general manager who's negotiating it has to be in touch with the executive director and at least some of the national board to say, well, I'm going to propose this. Because that's what they always have done in the past. I mean, it isn't just at the end of the negotiations. It's, you know, well, we propose this, you propose that. And, well, we'll get back to you is what management says. We'll go talk to National about this. And then they come back and you argue some more. So it's not a new process. It's a process that's always happened. It's a process that has to happen. I mean, somebody on management side has to consent, and it can't just be the general manager. It's not a fiefdom, it's a part of the whole foundation. So I don't really see what the beef is here.
Lydia.
Can I have Mary Bird would like to be on the stack?
Okay. I share some of Bob's concerns just because any of us who are on LSVs, and we're the least contentious, I think, here at KPFK, but it could really be, I just want protections in there for it not to be intrusive. In terms of just advising the board, I do think it's important. Oh, by the way, Bob, I would be shocked if any of the union reps were to say, no, were to oppose the board looking at something because they would clearly consider that an internal decision of how we process internally in terms of our management sign on to the contract. However, so I don't think that we need to wait for the unions to give. I think we have to simply make the decision is number one. I'd like to see some safeguards so that it doesn't become something which is intrusive. And at the same time, I did speak to our own general manager who said she would welcome the review by the board, or at least the notification to the board. And her reasoning was that there's a significant disparity among some of the station contracts, and some of them with similar standard, you know, of living and whatever. In other words, in the big stations, right, in the larger stations, L.A. versus New York, for example, where one station is paying, has a much better contract for the worker than the other station, and she would like to see greater uniformity, and she doesn't think that that can happen unless there is a review of all of the contracts. And that was a compelling reason for me. As long as this is a matter of notification, rather than the board becomes part of the bargaining unit, you know, that I would oppose. However, I do think that in terms of just being notified, I feel very strongly about all contracts having, you know, that are significant, that the board needs to be notified about them. So I see no harm. So I back off a little bit of my opposition from last time. On the other hand, I still feel strongly that we have to just safeguard against the intrusive nature and slowing down a process that is already slow. You know, our union negotiations are painfully slow, and they are between the two key parties. So I think we should be notified, but I also don't think that it should be intrusive.
Okay, we're getting close to time.
Mary Bird, I was on the staff.
I understand, but we're getting close to time.
Right.
So I just want to know if Bob's concerns have been met. or not?
No, and I'd like to ask a question.
Well, then,
clarify,
then,
can I just collect a point of information about, since I don't have it in front of me?
Go ahead.
Okay, so if this was passed as written now, and there was not only that front-end review, but then the process was all finished between the union management. They wrote a contract. They agreed on a contract. Would then the PNB have the power to intervene before it was signed and say, no, we reject this, under the current text?
The PNB always has that power, but I can't answer. I can't answer that quickly. Let's go to Mary, and I'll come back.
Well, I really want to see this happen. I know we're coming close to time. I would like it to go at least to the PNB. We're not going to get it perfect tonight. And for that reason, I would like to call the question on all pending motions, and then I would like to vote to pass this on to
I think in committee there is not the call of the question.
Oh, okay.
You don't close debate. The way it's done is when you get to time, which we're about at. I personally think that if there are concerns about the particulars of the union, that it's fine to pull that out of it for the time being and continue to do work as long as we have made a solid step forward, because again, there are going to be other features of this that will be batted around. So if it makes it more palatable to people to pull the union contract question out and say that we're going to deal with the union contract, we're going to add the question of how union contracts are handled as a specific instance that may require some more clarity, I don't have any objection to that.
Can I ask a question, point of clarification?
Yeah.
If we pass this thing as you're suggesting, in forwarding this to the PNB, we will include language in the letter or whatever, in the memo to them, indicating that we will deal with the union issue later.
That's right. That's what I'm contemplating.
Okay.
I also want to say there is no way this thing could turn into a 10-page document accounting for every eventuality. There are obviously going to be implementation details that are going to need to be hammered out. Some of that through practice. Some of that our new ED is going to probably make recommendations. But I think that to move this forward as is will at least get us started on it. Is there any objection to Bob? Can I restate the motion? To be that we will remove the union contract from the list and indicate to the PNB that there'll be a final paragraph that says the committee is developing a specific policy for the handling of review of union contracts.
Fine with me. And by the way, I apologize that I completely forgot that I had agreed to forward that. There's been a lot going on, but I'll
be happy
to forward
it. That happens
it
to everybody.
Yeah.
Paul, do you have that language that I just described?
No, it was just too fast. If you
okay.
do it again.
The amendment is to remove union contracts from the list of contracts this policy covers, and to add a final paragraph that says that the governance committee is working on specific policies to govern review of union contracts.
To be submitted later. Yeah, that's
to be submitted.
Okay.
That's implied.
And the governance committee is working on specific policies
to go to apply to review of
union
contracts.
Okay, so as I have it, the amendment is to remove union contracts from the list of contracts this policy covers and to add a final paragraph that says the governance committee is working on specific policies to apply to review of union contracts.
Right.
Working on specific policies to apply to... Okay. All right, that's what I have.
Okay, is there any objection to that amendment? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted. Now we have the overall thing as amended to date. Is there any...
I move that we approve it.
I second. Oh, you don't have to second.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, may we move to a vote on this?
Dave, I'm sorry. I just had my final point that I
go ahead.
This will be quick. I think in light of the complications around all this, that it would be better if we put a proviso that this would be something like a 3-month pilot policy, also because we have a new ED who's just coming in now, so that it doesn't have to be something like a motion to rescind in order to amend it later. I think it should be explicitly said it's a pilot. Let's watch how it works for 3 months and then
okay.
to revisit it.
Yes, sir.
I'm on the list now?
Yeah.
Okay. I have some concerns about this language that the coordinating committee shall have the authority to assign the review of the contract to other committees. That reminds me of it's like an executive committee, and I do not like that language. It's could be improved on later or somehow. I just don't like the executive committees. I thought we got rid of them. So I don't know how you want to deal with it. I would say that should be taken out.
Okay. The reason it's in there is to be able to speed up the process so that by the time it gets to the PNB, it's already been, you know, processed by the right committee. But like if it's a thing concerning, for example, bandwidth and servers or some contract for, provision of internet services, the coordinating committee, you don't have to go through the step of the board meeting and the board referring it to the technology committee. The coordinating committee could just send it there immediately. That was the reason for it. As to Bob,
can you add me to the list?
Yeah, Bob, remind me what your point was.
3 months.
Three months.
Pilot.
3 months isn't enough time to do anything. Can
mm-hmm.
we make it 6 or 9?
Yeah.
Well, that's my reaction also.
I would say no more than 6 because otherwise.
Fine. Is there any objection to, let's handle this piece first. Is there any objection to saying this policy shall remain in force for a period of 6 months, at which time it will be reviewed?
Mm-hmm.
Was the hum an objection or a non-objection?
It was a okay.
This policy shall remain in effect for 6 months.
At which time it will be reviewed. Or at which time potential changes to the policy will be considered.
Mm-hmm.
It may be considered.
Potential changes.
By the way, I don't think it requires a vote to rescind a prior vote of the board, but I'm not willing at this late moment to quibble that. I'm fine by saying 6 months review. Okay.
I have, this policy shall remain in effect for 6 months, at which time potential changes to the policy may be considered.
Great. Is there any objection to that?
I have an objection to the language that I have.
Right, I'm coming to that next. Okay, if there's no objection to that, then let's go to Sarah's objection. The ability of the coordinating committee to assign it. Lydia, you were next.
Yes, and what I wanted to say, I think that a safeguard for that would simply, for abuse or an executive committee style governance thing, is that as long as the national board is, the full board, is made aware of every single contract, regardless, as long as you know it's on the radar of every single PMB member, and there comes down from the coordinating committee that they are going to refer it to the other committee to report back to us, then that's sufficient to me. But it would not be adequate if they make a decision to not cover not to review a contract. I mean, all of that should, every single thing that is referred to the coordinating committee for contract review, the entire board should be made aware of what is the disposition of that at the time that they dispose of it.
May I ask whether or not specifying that a listing of all contracts, of all contract notifications to the coordinating committee will be included in the minutes of the coordinating committee meeting and transmitted to the full board?
Yes, distributed to the full board.
Sarv, does that solve your problem?
Well, this is the language that I think that probably would do for me. That the coordinating committee may refer appropriate contracts for review to other committees of the board.
may refer
not authority to assign.
Okay, so the CC may refer the contract for review to other committees of the board.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we're going to add the coordinating committee shall include a list of all contract notifications received in its minutes. And the minutes are always distributed to the board, so we don't have to add that. So the proposed amendment changes the last line of the paragraph under the policy applies to the following contracts to be: the CC may refer the contract for review to other committees of the board. Actually, to other committees. The CC may refer the contract to other committees of the board for review. And the CC shall include a list of all contract notifications, and I'll say, and referrals. of all contract notifications received and referrals in its minutes.
Can we use recommend instead of refer? Because refer still seems to have a sense of authority, but the coordinating committee actually doesn't.
The point of the feature is basically so that the governing board doesn't have to meet and then refer it. It's basically to let the coordinating committee say it's in the court of this committee. It doesn't override the authority of the PNB to assign it to other committees. It's just that it's contemplated that the coordinating committee will meet in between board meetings, and that way when you get to a board meeting, the appropriate committee, like say the tech committee, can already have looked at it, so you don't add essentially a month to the process.
I understand the purpose. I think recommend would allow that to happen without giving the coordinating committee powers that what they weren't given when they were created.
Okay, as long as nobody's then going to later argue that it was recommended, but we weren't assigned it by anybody, so only the PMB can give us that work. I mean,
is Dave the serve?
Yeah.
I think there's a certain amount of, I think, respect to the other committees, too. I think that they will take their assignment seriously, and they will do a job. I think if we can just recommend it to them, that could for any committee, a coordinating committee can say to a finance committee, could you please take a look at this one,
Dave, you want to put me on?
And so
go ahead. I mean, I'll just...
Yeah.
I would like to just see us vote on those that support recommend and those that support refer.
Okay, let's do that if we can. The proposed amendment was originally the CC may refer the contract, and then there's been an amendment to that, a proposal to substitute recommend for the word refer. So can you call the roll, Arpal, on recommend?
Okay.
So just say one or the other.
Who made that amendment just now?
I'll say, I think it was Serene that made the...
The recommend thing.
The
Okay, and what is the exact word?
The original amendment proposal was that the CC may refer the contract to other committees of the board for review. The CC shall include a list of all contract notifications received and referrals in its minutes. The substitute the amendment to that that's been proposed is to substitute the word recommend for refer. Can you call the roll on substituting recommend?
Okay, give me one second. And, okay, give me a second here and I'll put it in so we'll remember what the hell it was when I look at it. All right, the amendment is to substitute recommend for refer. Grace Aaron.
No.
Dave Adelson?
No.
Mary Berg?
No.
Max Blanchet?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
No.
Marty Derlin? Jane Gatewood?
Abstain.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? No. Sarv Randhawa?
I would say yes, I don't mind the recommendation.
Sandra Rawline?
No.
Doreen Roberts.
Yes.
Rob Robinson, Deb Shafto.
No.
Achim Takash, Ted Weisgel.
No.
Okay.
Did you put sugar in it or sweetened malt?
One, two, three, yes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, no.
Okay,
and
so that,
one
so,
abstention.
So now can you call the roll on the original amendment? That is, that we changed the thing that said the CC shall have the authority to read, the CC may refer the contract to other committees of the board for review. The CC shall include a list of all contract notifications received and referrals in its minutes.
Let me read. I think I have something that's slightly, very slightly different.
No,
Matt,
let me
just read this
so
you hear it. The CC may refer appropriate contracts for review to other committees of the PNB.
No.
The CC shall include a list of all contract notifications received and referrals in its minutes.
It's of the PNB for review.
Other committees of the PNB for review.
Right.
Okay, is that the only difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, can you just ask if there's any objection?
Oh, please. Is there any objection? Great. All right. Now can we act on the
I wanted to add something about the notice via an email.
Yes, please.
I would just suggest at the end of the first paragraph, this notice may be provided via email. Instead of trying to insert it into that really long sentence, just have a separate sentence. This notice may be provided.
I think it has to be shall be. You have to say this is how it's going to be done. That way everybody gets it.
Okay, if you just word it however you want, but I think it would fit in quite nicely there, and I would not try to fit it into any of these sentences.
Mm-hmm. One information, Dave?
Yep.
This item is 25 minutes over.
Can we agree without objection to add a sentence that said the notification shall be via email?
Look, this notice shall be done via email?
Notification shall be via
email. Provided by email.
Exclusively?
Well.
Please. Please. Come on.
Maybe. Okay.
This is common sense, folks.
Okay.
Notification via email. Argue about it a month from now. We'll want to make sure we got it.
Notification via email shall be deemed adequate.
No, just notification shall be via email.
Shall be provided by email, just what you said the first place.
Got that. Notification shall be provided by email.
Right. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to approving the amended main motion?
You mean the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay, great.
Point of information?
Yes.
I was offline for a while, so I don't know whether you guys addressed the issue of clarifying why people who were on a committee were not going to be able to vote.
No, we didn't.
By insert. Okay, well,
no.
Can I have an objection to voting?
Okay, then can you go ahead and call the roll, R. Paul?
Hello?
Yeah, hold one second. He's going to type stuff in. All right. This is on the main motion on contracts as amended. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
David Adelson.
Yes.
Mary Berg.
Yes.
Max Blanchet.
Yes.
Lydia Brazan.
Yes.
Marty Derwin. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Sarv Randhawa.
Yes.
Sandra Rawline.
Yes.
Doreen Roberts?
No.
Rob Robinson? Deb Shafto?
Yes.
Achim Takash? Ted Weisgel?
Yes.
One, two, three, four, five. I have 11 yes, 1 no, 1 abstention.
Okay.
Dave, are they Sarv?
Yes.
I'm sorry I have to leave the meeting. I have previously been here. So.
Okay. Thank you, Sarv.
Bye-bye.
We now have the Freeland suspension and the Susan Young. I am going to ask if I can turn the chair over to Grace Aaron on the Freeland suspension issue because I have to step away for several minutes, and I'll be back. Grace, are you willing to take the chair for that? Grace?
She's passed out.
Here I am.
Are you willing to, can you take the chair while I step away?
For 5 minutes or so?
Well, actually, the rule is when the chair relinquishes the chair, it's to the end of the item. So I'll be away for 5 minutes, but will you chair this section of it?
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll be back, folks.
All right. So can the secretary read this item?
Yes. 1 second. Okay, the next item is Freeland suspension.
Okay, who can explain this to all of us?
Oh, I think this is Lydia.
Yes.
First of all, rather than go through an explanation of it again, which last time really took an inordinate amount of time, all of us have received the documents. Hopefully all of us have read it, and you know, unless it can be explained in from our previous...
Let's just refresh our memory about it in a sentence. Lydia, can you do that?
More than a sentence, maybe.
Well, the thing is, nobody will be totally satisfied. Do we have a synopsis in the last minute? That would be the most appropriate.
Madam Chair, this is Ted Weiskel. I offered the motion. I can read it from the minutes of our last meeting.
Okay, go ahead. Yes.
It is, we ask the PNB that the Ken Freeland suspension be rescinded and any significant action taken during that period be brought back before the KPFT, it doesn't say KPFT, but LSB for reconsideration.
Okay. Any discussion about this item, this motion?
Okay, this is Lydia.
Yes.
Okay, so... I think that the larger issue, the overriding issue here, is whether something that was pursued in good faith as a result of what the election supervisor decided, which was that Susan Young could indeed be appointed to said board, outside board, and still run for the LSB.
Wait, point of order.
That's
point
a different
order.
Issue.
Aren't we, Lydia, on the Ken Freeland?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Reverse. Okay. Never mind. Let's move on. But on the Ken Freeland thing, I'm getting my notes mixed up. I'm sorry. Okay.
I did the same thing.
On the Ken Freeland issue is, again, a decision that has not been made, policies that have not been developed at the Pacifica National Board that I think are critical because suspensions have taken place at two stations now. And
you tried to deal with that in New York, right?
Yes. You have New York and Houston. And there are problems with both of them. And there are problems with both of them because there is no set policy. I strongly think that we have to establish a policy. Myself in a difficult situation. I personally think that suspensions should be appropriate. They should be in our policy. They're not in our policy. I believe they're allowed for in the bylaws. I do think that prolonged suspensions would not be in keeping with our goal and certainly not in keeping with what I fought for when I was on the lab suit. So I'm caught between that. I also recognize the need for a code of conduct and that if there is misconduct on the part of LSB, that there shouldn't be impunity in that regard. There should be some disciplinary action if in fact it can be established. But that's just a personal view. In point of fact, we have not moved very far on a code of conduct, nor on discussing it out, which I think needs to be a full board committee rather than just the governance committee. I know it's our function to kind of spearhead this. I personally cannot see us coming out with an adequate recommendation out of this committee. I'm sorry. I just think it needs to be a fuller discussion by the full board. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Any other?
This is Deb. I would like to
order. Point of order.
Hang on a second.
Do we have a stack? Who would like to speak?
Well, this is Ted Weisgall, and I'm the maker of the motion, and ordinarily the maker of the motion gets to speak first.
Okay. Go ahead, Ted.
Okay. What I would like to say is that there is a we do have in the Pacifica bylaws the reference to Robert's Rules of Order for matters where we have not established a policy, and Robert's Rules of Order Chapter 20 clearly covers this matter. It did in the Rienzo matter. It certainly covers it in the Ken Flynn matter. It was not followed properly, is my contention, here in Houston, and as a consequence, the National Board should rescind the action that was taken against Mr. Freeland.
Okay. Who else would like to speak?
Bob.
Deb.
Bob and Deb. Okay, Bob.
I think Deb was first.
I'd like to be on the list also.
Okay, Deb first.
Okay, I would like to hear from anybody, including Mr. Freeland, how that was not followed by in procedure. We have in KPFT, in our standing rules, a code of conduct and provisions for discipline, and those were followed to the letter. There was a flagrant violation of confidentiality. I have no wish whatsoever to put that out over the web or
streaming,
that's what I'm trying to say. I don't want to reiterate it. There was a flagrant violation of policy, of confidentiality, and there was a punishment exacted. There was, every single letter was followed. I want to hear exactly what was not in order. Not just
point of order, Madam Chair.
Okay, I'm going to put you...
I just want to raise the point of order that Mr. Freeland is here, and Ms. Shapko has asked for him to speak, and I would hope that the chair would give him that right.
Okay. Mr. Freeland is a member of this committee?
No, he is not, but he is the...
Chair on order?
Party.
Okay.
Dave on order?
I don't understand. Can you...
I have a point of order.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
There was a concern. First of all, it's the committee's decision whether to invite a guest. And in the last meeting, the issue was whether or not, you know, every time we consider these things, whether we're going to have testimony from various people.
Okay.
But the point of order is it's the committee's decision, not the chair's, I believe.
Okay. So shall we take a vote on whether we should have testimony from this guest?
Well, I just have a question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
The way we resolved the issue was we were asked to be sent the documentation, and I thought we were sent the documentation.
Right.
When Deb says she wants to hear what the rationale is, I think I have it. I think, don't we all have it in our email?
Yes, yes.
Where is it? I don't have it.
Oh, there's love.
Kim.
All I have is charges that it was illegal. I don't have specifically what was illegal about it.
Well, let's see. I have something that says appeal from Ken Freeland to the PMB Governance Committee, and I have something that says addressed to PMB, dear colleague, draft quarterly LSB report, appeal number 2, Bradley number 3, Bradley censure resolution, resolution 2. I don't know which of these contain
the bylaws.
The appeal, I have it here in his email. It's rather long. I can read it.
Oh,
no.
They're on the 14th, and then one of them's on the 15th.
The one I have is on the 28th. I can forward this to the full committee.
Oh, back then, okay. On the 28th.
On the 28th of December?
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
I don't have that.
Hold on a minute.
I don't have that one.
Is that the one that has his explanation in it?
Starts pursuant to Ted Weisgall's invitation to submit a brief in support.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, on the 14th, there it is again.
On January
14th? Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me look it up.
Again? Okay.
Yeah. Those three documents are on the first email.
This is Jane. I have a question.
Jane, all right, go ahead. What's the question?
Are we in the middle of something?
We're in the middle of an item about a suspension and whether it should be overturned.
No, what I meant was, were we in the middle of voting whether to permit the guests to participate in the meeting?
I thought so. I thought that's what we were about to do.
Yes. Is there any objection to having the guest state his point of view in this meeting?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Given the length of these things, I'd like to ask if we do it that we put a time on it.
I would say 2 minutes.
Okay. All right, then it is the feeling of the body that we shall have the guest give testimony for a maximum of 2 minutes.
I'd prefer four. It's too involved to do in 2 minutes.
You'll be settled on three. Okay, four, but I would like to get to the Susan Young matter. And
okay, is there any objection to 4 minutes?
This is Bob. I don't object, but I would like to pose a question, which I was going to ask to Ted Weisgall, but now I could ask to Ken Freeland that he could incorporate in his four-minute statement. Can I be allowed to do that?
If you state it rapidly.
Yeah, it's really just to amplify on Deb's question. I did read all the material, but can he please specify specifically which parts of Robert's Rules of Order does he believe were violated in the manner that that the LSB suspended him?
Okay. Do you understand that, Ken?
I understand Bob's question, yes.
All right.
Madam Chair, this is Sandra from Houston, and I would just like to make a request that when Mr. Freeland gives his statement, that he refrain from furthering on the stream anything that might be a breach of confidentiality.
All right. Is that acceptable to you, Ken?
I resent the implication that there has been any confidentiality violated in the past, but I have no intention of violating any confidentiality.
Thank you. Then proceed to give your 4 minutes of testimony.
Okay.
Who is keeping time?
Let me know when I'm going to start, please.
Who is keeping time? Okay.
Had been Sarv, but he left.
Max, can you keep time?
Let me get my watch.
I can keep time.
I can keep time. Yes, four minutes, huh?
Yeah, okay, that's better. But Max,
go ahead.
All right, go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. Before I answer Bob's question directly, let me say that it is not my position. I don't share the same belief that Ted Weisgall just articulated. I don't believe that Robert's Rules provides for dealing with the suspension of a delegate by a local station board. I believe R. Paul Martin has expressed the same belief here, that the bylaws prohibit, the bylaws strictly delegate the power of disciplining of members other than for keeping order in a particular meeting to the delegates and not to the local station boards. The local station boards are only given specifically delegated powers, and they do not include suspension of delegates. Now, having said that, I believe that what I've experienced here is a suspension based on purely political motives. And I think the proof of that is first of all, that there is no specific charge that has been leveled against me in either case. Earlier tonight, we heard Deb Shafto claim that there was a violation of confidentiality on my part. I put it to you as a committee that if you will go to the record of these closed meetings, that you will not find in those records any mention of a violation of confidentiality. That charge was never leveled against me. It was never adjudicated, and I was never disciplined on account of it. The suspension that was brought against me was done simply for the sake of suspending me, simply because it was felt that the board could do it because it had been done in New York. No other cause was given at the time. I was present when this was done. Having said that, I want to talk about violation of process as if it were the case that Robert's Rules did apply. Robert's Rules Chapter 20 gives full right of attorney to be present whenever there's a question of a trial of a member. I was only given that right for a brief period of time until a reasonable hour of, I think, 11 o'clock when the attorney had to leave. After that, I was without legal representation. The second point that I need to bring up is that the suspension itself was not on any agenda that the LSB was working from. The only thing that was on the agenda that related to it was a motion to remove me from the local station board. That motion failed. And there was the second motion was brought up after a motion to adjourn had been made and seconded. People thought the meeting was adjourned. Some people did. Some of us had left. I was told out in the parking lot that a new motion was now being entered, and I ran back to find out what was going on. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have been present for even the first suspension against me. I need to point out for everybody's reference that there were two suspensions. The first one occurred on August 24th, which I've just described. It was a kangaroo court situation,
one minute
and I can't go farther than that. The second one took place on August 31. It was a motion filed by Deb Shafto, who is present now, but in my opinion should not be present now because it's about her suspension that we are now addressing the question of legality. And I was not permitted to be present, not only not to have a defense, but not even allowed to be present when the second suspension was instituted against me in closed session.
30 seconds.
So those are some of the main issues. But the important thing is that no specific charge was ever made against me for any kind of wrongdoing. I was never found guilty of any specific type of wrongdoing that has ever been recorded by the local station board, and yet I was suspended for a period exceeding 2 months. And that is unjust, and it flies in the face of the theory of democratic governance, which gives me an absolute right to defend the people that elected me to the local station.
Time is up.